and how you would say it. We ask your blessing, and we pray for our hearts to be softened to receive your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And as I struggle to replace a few batteries here, hopefully. Good morning to you. Glad to see you and spend some time with you. Let me ask you as we get started right off the bat. No slides either. Hey, we're having one of those days. That's okay. Let me grab a few batteries back here while we're waiting. My first question off the bat was, do you have any comfort foods that you like? No? Nothing at all. Yell them out. What do you like?
Bread.
Okay, I like bread. Scrambled eggs? Pie. Okay, now we're getting there. What else we got? Chocolate. Come on, somebody be honest here. Hot chocolate. Okay, now we're talking. M&M's. Oh, I love all that stuff. Mashed potatoes and meatloaf. Nobody said ice cream this morning. That's kind of surprising, actually. Let's see if, is this working? Hey, we're on. Life is good. When I was young, you know, I used to love my grandmother's cooking. Going to see her was a real treat. She lived, for a while at least, within walking distance of our house, and so sometimes I would walk over there, and I know that Grandma would give me a can't get one because I'm going to need one when we get to communion. All right. What? No, I don't think it's going to stay. I need that other mic. Got nothing. So what is there about comfort food that makes them comfortable? A lot of times they have some kind of sentimental value to them. A lot of times, you know, it's something like my grandmother's, you know, bread and jam, or it's something that you've eaten on special occasions that's kind of a go-to food. And then usually one of the big important parts is that it has lots of carbs and lots of calories, preferably from sugar. Well, we're talking about comfort this morning. We eat these foods when we need comfort, when we need some kind of encouragement, a little boost in our life to get us going again, right? We've been looking at some of the, I'm really doing well here this morning. Maybe we should just start over again, you know? You ever get one of those days where you just want to go back to bed and get out of bed again and start all over again? That's the kind of day I'm having here so far. We've been looking at some of the one another's in scriptures. Based on some of these, we've been forming a family covenant, line by line. And we're almost done with it. We got about 3 weeks to go. And it's that covenant that we can make with one another here in the church, but we can also use it in our home with our own family. You know, we need to consider our family as sort of a microcosm of the church. The church is made up of families. It's made up of you guys. You are the church, not the building. And so we can use that covenant at all levels. The part of our family covenant that we're looking at today has to do with comfort, but not the kind that makes us comfortable. The covenant says, or this part says, our family will comfort one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks an awful lot about comfort, especially verses 3 through 7. And I actually gave you an outline this morning and printed it on your outline so that you would have that scripture to go through. And there's a good reason for that. As we go through it, and if you don't have one of these outlines at home, you can just follow along in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But as we go through, and I read it out loud, I want you to do something for me. Every time we hit the word comfort, I want you to either underline it or circle it. You ready? Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Too many things in my hand. Abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so that also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, we suffer. As you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. Well, as you were going through, did you circle them? Anybody count them to see how many there actually are? Nine of them all the time, or all through that scripture. In five verses, there are nine of them. How many times in scripture have you seen that, where a word has been repeated that often? It doesn't happen very often, does it? So here's a little tip for you in your personal study, that when God repeats himself, it means one thing. Pay attention. This is important. We live in uncomfortable times, obviously. Comfort is obviously important to God, or he wouldn't repeat himself so often. And when we're talking about comfort here, we're really not talking about the kind of comfort where you're sitting in your lazy boy chair with your feet up and you're watching something on the big screen. You know, there's nothing wrong with that kind of comfort. But the kind of comfort we're talking about here this morning is where we have some kind of relief from grief or from distress or some kind of encouragement or reassurance. We feel heard. We feel seen and loved and cared for. You know, that's the kind of comfort we're talking about this morning. You know, all around us, there are all kinds of things that make us feel uncomfortable. We can list things like the COVID virus, political strife, rioting in the streets, unresolved social and racial issues. There are a lot of things that can make you feel pretty anxious right now. Well, all that's in addition to any personal problems you might be having. You know, you got your own stuff going on, and then there's all this stuff out there all around us. I use a word, I like this word, disquiet. Disquiet is an interesting word. When you are at peace in your soul is quiet. But when you're not at peace, there's disquiet, uneasiness, worry, anxieties, deep feelings. And, you know, people around us are feeling this way, and maybe you're feeling this way too, a little bit frightened, a little bit worried. With a couple of months to the presidential election, both major political parties are telling people that democracy is going to end on the other side if the other side wins. Both sides have said that, and that's not very likely. But our trust shouldn't be in the government anyway. Our trust is in Jesus. And in our Father God, and in the Holy Spirit who lives and moves in you. We need to tone down our language. We need to bring comfort and not strife and not disquiet. So what does God say to us here in this passage? Let's see if I can get to the right slide. Why is comfort important that God repeats himself in this way? Well, let's start with this question of God's comfort. Why does God comfort us? Why does he comfort us? Well, first of all, because he is the God of compassion. That's what it says in verse 3. God knows and he cares about what you are going through. In fact, God can relate. Verse 5 talks about sharing in the suffering of Jesus. Well, Jesus suffered for a number of reasons, didn't he? He suffered because of his message. He suffered because of his mission. And he suffered because of who he was. He challenged the messages of his day. He challenged what the people saw as his mission. People had different expectations of him. And in the end, he was the only one who could pay the price for our sin, which he did through the death on the cross. If you are a real Christian, you will pay a price. Our Christianity, our belief comes at a cost. There's always a cost for following Jesus. My question for you is, are you following Jesus or are you following the world? Are you following a political message? Are you following a philosophical message? Or are you following Jesus? You know, we need to bring the message of Jesus to bear on everything we read, on everything we hear, everything we see, everything we're encountering. The Word of God and the understanding of who Jesus is, we need to bring that to bear as we go through life. You know, sometimes we share in the sufferings of Jesus. Sometimes, you know, we share the good news and people are not real fond of that. Sometimes the message you want to bring, a message of peace, is not well received in a world that's leaning towards violence at the moment. But Jesus understands when people reject you because of the message that you bring. He more than understands and he has compassion on you. And we can have hope knowing that the Son of God who went through all of this was obedient through the suffering and through the trials, and he was victorious. We're obedient. As we're obedient, he comforts us. Well, why does he comfort us? He comforts us also because he is the God of all comfort. We try to find comfort in all manner of places, don't we? We have pain. We try to comfort ourselves. We look for comfort. We seek comfort in a bottle sometimes, or we try to self-medicate, or we try to kill the pain and all the hurt. My family was all kind of messed up when I was growing up and very dysfunctional, and as I became a teenager, I tried to find comfort through smoking weed and then later experimenting with, you know, all kinds of harder stuff than that. And some people try to find comfort in sex. What they really seek is intimacy or just to feel better for a brief period of time. Some people try to find their comfort in work, working hard, crazy hours as if they're kind of trying to run away from the pain that they have. Some people seem to find comfort in a cause or a charity, endlessly moving from one thing to the next and never really at peace. Others seem to find comfort by chasing a dream, but the goal always seems sort of just beyond reach. It seems elusive. But God, who's the creator of heaven and earth, he is the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. It's a part of God's nature to comfort us. We could easily say that he wants to comfort us because he is God. Because he is who he is. Comfort is a part of who he is. And just as all truth that really is truth is ultimately God's truth, all comfort that is truly comfort is sourced in God. It comes from God. God has created us in his image. And because we're created in the image of God, we can reflect him, even imperfectly, before we know him. But you know, once we come to know Jesus, that reflection becomes much, much clearer. And those abilities to comfort, for example, they become empowered by God in a supernatural way. Well, why do we comfort others? You know, why do God has comforted us, but why do we comfort others? Verse 4 talks about, it says, he is the one who, well, okay, first of all, because God comforts us. He's the one who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. The power to comfort others comes from the comfort that we received when we went through difficulty. You know, so if you've been through some kind of difficulty, if you've been through some kind of problem, that comfort that we got from God, that we received from God and maybe received from others who represent Jesus Christ, that comfort becomes kind of our well to draw from, to draw water from. A number of years ago, Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer. And that term wounded healer came from a psychologist way back at the first part of the century, Carl Jung. And he even recognized that our hurts that we have in life can actually help us when we counsel others, when we minister to others, when we care for other people. Well, Nouwen takes that even farther. He says that that place of wounding, that place where you were hurt or where you suffered, he says that place is the start of your ministry. It's in that place of hurt that God begins ministry through you to other people. Every Christian is called to comfort. And the place that you comfort the best or the most is the place where you've been wounded or hurt the most. That's what it means when Paul says in Romans 8:28, for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. God takes those terrible and broken things and comforts you, and the comfort you receive becomes the basis for the comfort that you give to other people. You will have noticed that somebody who has not been through very much in their life, somebody who's lived a kind of silver spoon existence, isn't very able to comfort for or care for others because they have no well to draw from like you do. You know, God doesn't ensure that we only go through good things. Good things happen to good people. That's what we hope for. That's what we want. But, you know, that isn't a guarantee. And sometimes you go through those terrible things. But he turns the terrible hurts and pains around, and he gives value to them. And he uses them and shows you how to use them for the help of others and for his glory. Well, the second reason that we comfort others is because the God of comfort lives within us. The God of comfort lives inside of us. Verse 5 says, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Jesus Christ. Our comfort abounds, or it comes abundantly through Christ. You can't receive it abundantly through Christ unless you are in Christ. You have to be in Jesus to receive that supernatural power, that abundance that we have. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus, which starts when you ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And when you begin following Jesus and stop following sin, that's repentance, when you turn away from it. And when that happens, we're told that ever since the coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, that ever since that time, when you come into that beginning, that relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. Jesus, our comforter, on the day that he ascended, said, I'm going to pray for you. In fact, I'm going to pray that God will send another comforter besides me. That word is sometimes translated helper or counselor. And that comforter, that helper, is the Holy Spirit. We comfort because God, the God of comfort, lives inside of us through his Holy Spirit. And the third thing I want to say to you is one of the reasons we comfort others is simply because we're family. That God of comfort lives inside of you. And that same God lives inside of me. We are to comfort one another. The word comfort implies two parties, right? Somebody to comfort, somebody to receive that comfort. Two parties, two parts. And sometimes we end up going through some kind of a shared tragedy or something that we share, and we end up comforting each other at the same time. And God's family is really good at that when we start getting into those kinds of situations. Let me assure you that your brothers and sisters in Jesus, some of them are hurting right now. Some of them are hurting right here. Some of them are hurting around the world. You know, we prayed for those who were persecuted this morning. Through Jesus, we have the power to bring comfort, the power to bring encouragement, both here in the church and in our homes, which is our covenant. But also beyond your doors, you know, there are neighbors that might need comfort. You know, no matter what happens in the coming year or in the coming years, as somebody pointed out to me the other day, Jesus still wins. We take our comfort in God. We don't take our comfort in the news. We don't take our comfort in who wins or loses. We take our comfort in Jesus, in God. And God will continue to be there no matter what. The comfort you can bring not only encourages someone, it can also lead someone to victory in Jesus. Right, we're going to move into our communion time here. But before we do that, I want you to take a look. Those of you who have the insert, and I will put this up online later on, I'd like you to list some ways that you can bring comfort and encouragement to someone this week. Let's make this a very practical lesson. You know, just write down a couple of things that you could do practically to bring encouragement to other people. Maybe even start at home. Maybe think of your neighbors and what are their needs? What are some ways that we can help them? And write those things down. And then don't just write them down. Pray over them for direction and follow through with action. When somebody's hurting, you can pray with them, right? Or you can pray for them. Or you can talk with them. Or you can sit with them. And you can share the comfort and the love and the message of Jesus with them.